buenas también, pero que estoy haciendo casa. Y entonces, a la invitación, a los 7 kilos que me dio. Fui ayer, yes, no you, but you can bring into this very important organization, very important for us, very important for society as a whole. So we would like you to be just calm and relax and just present yourself to us as a portfolio committee, and then we will ask questions, and then we will be done. You have 45 minutes, a few minutes for you to introduce yourself, and then tell us who you are, and your interests, your languages, and your education, and then thereafter we will ask questions. We will introduce ourselves, and at the end we will take the floor, introducing the floor. Marketing as well. And what is that song? Chapter of the
My name is Thomas Makondo, member of the committee.
My name is Bodima Chalopoli, member of the committee.
My name is Mahoti Sinan, member of the committee.
The Lazuki can find you, member of the committee.
Member of the committee.
Alan Kroetman, member of the committee.
Thank you very much. I am Norma Costa-Duranga, my so-called Christian name, Taber. My forefather's name, Afbana, is an African. I'm from the Eastern Cape. My mother's family is in Kosovo. In the Eastern Cape, I come from a single village. I know most of you know the history about the single village. I was brought up in a very home language, multilingual environment. Why do I say so? My home, my grandfather's home, is an East Street. East Street during my childhood time, my neighbors were African speakers. After those, it were Indians who were speaking also English and African. And then at my home, my grandma used to have, and my grandfather used to have citizens from different African languages. I didn't know what they speak and what they were conversing about, but they were speaking a language which I thought this is not a problem. Okay? Then I did my high primary, lower primary, where it's a Xhosa was spoken the language. And then I went to go to the Transkei, where English was the medium of instruction. So I had both languages as my medium, which is Xhosa as well as English, which I think that helped me a lot. And then again, throughout my education or school existence, English was the medium of instruction, but Xhosa, I happened to get teachers who were keen to teach it well so that we can be proud of the Xhosa people. I'm not sure whether it was because of my influence that made me to go into a career that is more covered by knowing the languages, even though I did a number of other subjects, but I think language was at the center. I did my master's where I was looking at how our grade 11 managed to acquire the language in both Xhosa as well as in English. Assessing our curriculum at that time, it was the revised national curriculum. And I realized that even though they went through the whole schooling system, still dabbled to get out of that system without knowing their home language, and also even rhetoric in the language of extraction, which is English. Then, when I joined a Nelson Mandela lecturer day, I was intended to teach English as second language. But what I observed was that when I looked at how Isitosa is taught, and how even the Isitosa speakers in my classroom, in my lecture hall, fail to understand the rudiments of their home language, and instead, I'm taking up this offer, I'm going to offer this as one of my method modules. And I did that. Fortunately, I was also given a module to teach other speakers of other languages in Isitosa. That was a challenge, because they look at how do I fail the entire course because I don't know the conversational Isitosa. It was a challenge to me because it meant they are looking down upon my language. They want to pass, but they don't want to know my language. And I made it a point that I'll teach them till they know my language, and then they can get their degree. Another thing is, when I look at the recalculation, because at both day when universities were writing new curricula and looking at their modules, there was no language curriculum for honors program there. So I started up the honors program, but my focus was not only on Isitosa per se, it was on how to learn to teach, access, and research a language. And part of those modules were home language module, English foreign language module, multicultural, multilingual module, multi-literacies, and also look at meta-theory that will help them open up their eyes when they are studying this language education curriculum. So at the center of all that, it was a question of, you are in a multilingual context, how to teach a language is very important, starting from what is your home language and how can you teach your mother tongue or your home language so that they'll be able to learn a second language and be able to converse with other people in their home languages without being perfect because you lack the knowledge and the experience of using the language. So I think to me, language is core. Language is the vehicle to do anything, and without a language, that means you won't be able to participate in the local, regional, and the world stage because you lack a very important resource, which is language. And if you have knowledge of many languages, then it means you're in the game. But my worry is, where are we as African languages in that world stage? What CONSULT has done to up to now to make the point that our policies are interpreted, implemented, and you can say in that region, in those schools, mother tongue education, multilingual, or even bilingual, is up and running, and therefore our kids are in the right direction. Because we have exams now,
Other students did not happen to be out of the school, but he did it out. How are you going to have a case when your kid can't even speak, read, and write their own home language? That is my challenge. And I would like, as a result, I put my head on the block to say, I'm the one who's going to drive this language education curriculum or model to write, because I would like to come up with the mother tongue thread that runs through all these language models, and also come up with models of bilingual education, with models of multilingual education, so that everybody is having a share on this debate. If we all say in our institution that language policy, multilingual education policy is cool, why are other members of that institution not getting a share? We all subscribe to social justice and principles of social justice, which are very core to our education. I don't see them being implemented in the world. So I would like to be that pawn. If you see the chess board that we move around to say, but that's not supposed to be happening the way it's there. Because already in my school, I was doing a leadership, I don't think it was the last year. And we're asked to just identify a challenge that is painful to you and you'd like to do something about it. And I looked at our institutional language policy as well as the multilingual policy. And I presented that to all the details of that institution, which I also part of, because that's the decision that's made. Okay? So, I explained the interpretation of this. Unfortunately, it was also backed with my students because I gave them all of the language policies that they're supposed to use when they learn their modules. And most of them are reading English. And you could have seen the face, I mean the expression on their faces. And he said, please, respond to the question. Don't ask me that. Respond to the question.
No, we're not going to write this test. No, this is not fair.
And I was very happy because it was really shocking to them. And then thereafter, I read all the reflections. Their voices, these are indeed my voices. And again, I showed them one of the videos that was presented by the late Susie Stifon Pepper. What is her name? He was the head of type of communication. He has a video in Austrian. If you Google that video and you watch that video, that is the life experience of all the students, people who are not speaking English, yet everything has been done in English. So many people are very much alive, and I hope this multilingual policy, multilingualism, and the temper board could do something about it so that it is helpful for the world. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You can switch off, and I'm now going to give, without wasting time, opportunity to the members of the panel to ask questions. Honorable Makonda.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. Let's say if you are appointed to this board, and what are the sets of skills that you have, which can be of use at the board, given its challenges. I'm sure you follow it, and they've got a lot of challenges. It's never had a board that finished their head. So, but what type of things do you have?
All right. I think in applied English, I'm bringing a board to the computer in English, I'm computing the social, in research, and I have experience in negotiating with people of different languages and backgrounds. And also, I think my teaching experience on its own is a bonus. And also, being immersed in those situations, that background on its own has given me the ways of navigating myself in the classroom. And also, when I think of looking at issues that could research, that on its own is a skill or competence, or capital competence that never along with me. And I think some knowledge in entrepreneurial law, as well as public international law, because I did all those courses, they opened my eyes and I had to look at things differently. So that's the term, although I think it's very rusty because I use it here and there, but the knowledge is there and I can give you the file. It helps me when I teach my modules. I start first with giving them all the courses that I enrolled in the language module for them to become good teachers and be able to interpret their curriculum. So language policy or policy related documents to interpret, to research, interpret, implement. Yes. So I think today I bring along that kind of information to deal with and be able to come up with some answers.
Thank you very much, thank you very much, Shane. Welcome, Mama Kaplan. Thank you. You said just when you answered the question from Honorable Makondo that you have knowledge of public international law,
yes.
Then I assume that you have the knowledge of the Constitution of the Republic.
Yes.
Because that's where almost everything is in the right law. The South African Language Board is the Chapter 1 institution founded in the provision of the Constitution.
Yes.
Can you then explain to us your understanding of the mandate of the board and in relation with the Pan African Language Board Act of 1995 and also the Constitution of the Republic of Korea.
Correct. I think that the board was established to see to it that the marginalized languages are given the chance to be developed and also those marginalized languages are on the same path with all other languages who have been enjoying the silver stage. And your committee, they supposed to see to it that the law, the resources, the capital and knowledge and development is taking place through research, through public engagement, as well as through stakeholder engagement, because if you don't have those, then it means the board is defunct. So to me, they are the vanguard of all these African languages so that they could survive and be at the level of all other languages. So I would summarize that by saying that you are the first thing you're supposed to take the reason and run with it, but with engagement with the stakeholders.
to go on a course of studies, and how will we ensure that there is always an ethical leadership and integrity in the board? And maybe what is the board task?
To be honest, I didn't check on your board chapter, but I read that because I was going through your last report, 2016, 2017, and 2018, trying to see your achievements there. But I realized that when I also looked at your organogram, some members of the temple didn't attend a meeting, attend other meetings, and also other provinces didn't perform the duties they were given to them to meet as government. If you don't do the mandate of the body you part of, then it means you have failed that body and you didn't perform your duties that way upon your shoulders and upon your jurisdiction. So if you can't attend to the core duties of our entity and see to it that we do them diligently, then there's no governance there. So governance is leadership, governance is knowledge, governance is taking up issues and challenges that you were given to attend to and come with solutions. And also governance is about consistency. If you do things the way they are supposed to be done throughout and be able to come back and report to the constituency, to me that is governance. So leadership, engagement, as well as knowledge, because if you lead without knowledge, I don't think you'll be leading that ship well the way you're supposed to stand up.
Black answer.
Thank you.
In your introduction, you did mention that your observation or your experience in the forced you to go and register for the student court. Meaning that there's something that you realize that is before the court. And I think your observation or your experience might be the same as mine or my colleagues.
Okay.
So, since we have this 11 official languages in South Africa, however, they are not afforded the same limitation, how would we ensure that there is no language that is hegemony over the other?
Okay. I think if I were to leave that team, there must be a representative of each language, because even though we are multilingual in South Africa, some other people don't speak all the 11 official languages, including the sign language. Therefore, it's fair to kind of zone them regionally, because in my instance, the common languages are African, Isitosa, Isidoro, okay? Therefore, and English. Therefore, since English is the language of instruction, it's important that the learner is supposed to learn these other two African languages, so that at least when they interact with people from the same region, they can be able to do business with all of them. And then if it's in the Gauteng, northern areas, and northern province, Mpumalanga, it could be the Swati, isiZulu, and isiXhosa, because all those are Nguni languages, so it's easy to kind of walk over the cognate languages. So what is important is that we must own ourselves in a sense that we'll be able to speak the languages of those regions. Then, each region must be able to have at least
key African languages taught as a language as well as a subject. And that is how mother tongue multilingual education can prosper in Malawi. And again, we always think that multilingual education starts up there. It starts in the primary school, it starts at home. So if we don't start things where they're supposed to start, we can never be able to manage to help this multilingual journey work successfully. So I think if we're part of the group, I would make the point that there will be a representative of each and every African language, and they come up with a way of moving forward multilingual policy and be implemented in a right way that will be profitable to everybody, not that by learning others and others and enjoying the benefits of multilingual education.
Hello, Ma.
Yes.
What values are going to bring to the 10 South Pond, and how will these values assist the pond?
I'm coming from a social justice background, and also coming from humanizing pedagogy background. So that, to me, is a very cool in whatever I do. If you can go and look for the principles of social justice, then on its own allow everybody to have equal quality and access to education, and also be able to self-determine your own destiny and where you are. So if we can anchor our education in social justice and also anchor it in humanizing pedagogy. Humanizing pedagogy, they also tell the same principles as social justice, but they see you and respect the next person so that you can be able to receive that respect. And again, what is not good to you is the same as not good to the other people. So if you marginalize other people's language, then it means you are not socially just to those people. Therefore, to me, social justice is core to everything, and humanizing pedagogy is truly what will drive the whole process forward.
Thank you, Chair. Which fund is the issue again?
Afghanistan.
Okay,
but I lecture in the
The question, the first question I'd just like to ask you is, what is the language, current language policy of NZMU, and do they have a language board? And then the question, and how would you promote the languages that are marginalized, like Nama, San, and Khoi languages?
Right. One of my presentations at the business school was based on our language policy, as well as the multilingual policy of Nelson Mandela. So what I did was to look at the population of Nelson Mandela, and to my surprise, the majority were easy source of speakers, and then followed by African speakers, and more of the percentage of English speakers, and the others were lesser than 0.00 whatever percentage. Yet, the medium of instruction at that university is English. Also, when I was presenting my case, I wanted to know how do they adopt the policy that they impose. That's the same question I will ask about Temple. If we hold marginalism, how come we are still
the school wouldn't want even to admit students from other language papers, and those cases, data treatment happened. Coming to the NAMA and the other French foreign languages, they are part of this country. They're supposed to be taught and developed, such like the French languages. So for me, I think if the Constitution says all languages are having equal status, it must be so, even in our everyday life and even in our school system. And if that doesn't happen, believe me, we're supposed to be such a human rights violation. I was impressed when I was attended an alumni in Central of Italy. We had an alumni in Evelyn, and next to Wooden, it's a school for them. It was very important for me to understand the pain of not knowing what is going on, yet a lot is going on in front of you. Because we're ignorant. We didn't know the language. And yet the kids were vibrant, playing, talking, acting, doing sorts of things. Yet we're in the dark because we never taught ourselves that this is also another language we're supposed to learn. We try to learn the French, now it's going to be the Chinese language. We're all running and try to learn that, yet we don't even know the coconut joke, we don't even know the Cinderella on the other side. So that to me was an eye-opener. So what will say the people who get those languages supposed to be developed and we're supposed to be talking to them because they are part of our African languages.
I wanted to check time and go to the panel. Fiona, are you close to the principal?
I am, but I can't see where the stop watching.
Oh, fine. Let's proceed. Let's say you are appointed to the board of Tampa. Do you have any conflict of interest that will hinder you not to perform your responsibilities as a board member? Hindrance.
What kind of hindrance are you talking about? So that I could be clear when I have to respond.
I'm talking about the conflict of interest. For example, you have got a relative who's working there, you are in business that relates to the work that Temple is doing. It could be anything.
My relationship with Temple is specifically that my language is taught and my language can be used as an intellectual language as well as an economic language and otherwise, and be able to make it a point that multilingualism is. So that is my only relationship with Temple.
Thank you very much, Shay. You just said when you were answering the question on your relationship or conflict that you had with the institution, you said your only conflict that you had is to say that your language...
No, it's not the conflict, it's the relationship.
The relationship.
Yes.
If you will assist me by not interjecting and then we will can move forward.
Okay.
Your relationship in terms of multilingualism and so on now, since you have spoken about multilingualism, what is your stance on multilingualism? Why do you think it should be a good thing to practice multilingualism in both public and private sector? Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Sorry for interjecting. I think my traveling South Africa, the province, and internationally made me realize that
multilingualism lived, and also teaching different learners speaking different languages, as well as interacting with different people from different backgrounds speaking different languages. So I think to me, multilingualism is core to language learning, teaching, assessment, and running any kind of business, whether it's political, economical, cultural, and otherwise. Because if you don't know other languages, by the way, when I was in Mpumalanga, I couldn't understand other things that were said in Siswati, even though I know Swati to a certain level. And as a result, I realized that during that stay there for 2 months, I couldn't access the deeper knowledge of the things I wanted to know because of the barrier of the language. So, to me, multilingualism is a resource. Resource in the classroom, resource in business world, resource even here. And for that matter, if we were all multilingual, there would be a problem by now. The person next door has to wait because there's no interpreter or whatever. So to me, multilingualism is a resource. No main language is a resource. And you can travel the world without ease, I mean without any difficulty, and do your businesses, whether it's academic, political, economical, or cultural, because you have this deep resource, which is knowing many languages.
There's around 7 or 6.
My question to you, how will you mitigate the conflict between body and the native of interest?
Can you remember to that?
How would you, the effort member, mitigate the conflict between the body and the native of interest?
I think what is important is to understand the upper limits, the lower limits of your duty. And then, what is your obligation to the organization? What are the things that you're supposed to do and not to do? And if there is that conflict, how do you negotiate and see whether you can end this or you can still be part of without losing the mandate of your status in that body? So to me, it will be a question of negotiating and also knowing the upper limits and the lower limits of your duties as a member. I think that's why I said it's important for me to know the upper limits. The upper limits are the things I'm supposed to do. And the lower limits, the things
you don't even cross that protocol, because if you do cross that protocol, then it means you are violating the vows you signed. So to me, it would be important for me to know, these are the things, if you are a board member, you're supposed to do, and you are not supposed to do. And therefore, if you don't do the same, then it means you're violating the vows you signed. The board member oversees, and as we said, is the law of all those entities. So you need to know, as a board member, the judiciary, the HR, as well as the other government. Performance is what you're supposed to perform, but within the jurisdiction. So if the jurisdiction says these are the things you're not supposed to do, and these are the things you're supposed to do, then you're supposed to navigate according to those jurisdictionary rules.
In terms of ambulance, in terms of the ethically, because that's ethical,
yes.
There are only five of them. Which one can you figure out? Just ask that
one. Government? The Tonga speakers, they don't know their exposure. Even if when they don't understand a story or a pedagogy, then I would say, just explain that to me in Tonga, and you realize that it's a mixture of this and that and that and that and that. Yet they don't even understand their English. So I took upon myself to teach those languages. And when we have meetings and they talk about how I'm going to write these modules. And I always say, my module is on language development. Because we have to focus on how can we develop this intellectual module as a module that is an intellectual language module. Because right now, we're at the brink of not having any student, just like before, 2000 up to 2009, because the only time the African language were back into university arena was only in 2010, 2011. But before, there were no courses in the classes that we taught African languages, that was good. And to me, that was a great.
we stay as a custodial community, do they actually people give of themselves to this institution as a group with culture? Because culture is who we are. Our language is our culture, and our culture is who we are. And we really appreciate it. And we will process all those interviews and then feed them to the department, the minister, and to the department that is going to come back.
Thank you very much for having me. And all the interesting questions. Thank you.
Yeah, we are.